I just want to take a moment or two and just, since it's January, kind of talk a little bit about the church before we get into an actual sermon. Kind of a little update. If you were here last week, there'll be a little bit of repetition just because it does take a couple weeks to hit everybody who comes to Journey to get them all hearing the same things. One is just, if we look back at 2014, it was a great year in many ways. You know, average church size in America is about 50 to 80 people. We're running about 200, 203 to be exact, between the two services, 150 in the morning, 50 at the recovery service at night. And that's been well. As far as, you know, seeing people step up and say, I want to follow Christ in Christian baptism, you know, those that study churches in America will tell you that it takes usually 85 members or regular attenders to see one baptism. So you take your attendance and you divide by 85, and that's what they would expect to see in numbers of baptisms. And we always, that's not a great standard. The American church isn't doing very well in that. But so you would look at us and with 203 on a Sunday typically say, well, just a couple. And we had 17 in 2014, and that's pretty normal for us, 15 to 17. And so most of those were kids making that decision. Some were adults and even a couple teenagers. So that's exciting to see people of all ages saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ and step up and do that. And so that's exciting. The Bible tells us, Jesus says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so giving is also a mark on how a congregation's doing. And our general fund, which is kind of the everything, you know, that's salaries, renting this place, insurance, all those kinds of things, was up 26% in 2014 over the year before. Total giving, which is all the building fund giving, is up 35% in 2014 over 2013. So that was really remarkable. The one that I've talked about quite a bit was we saw in 10 weeks about $110,000 come in just to our building fund right there at the end of the year. It was really pretty amazing. And so pretty exciting stuff. And a God moment I shared that happened right around Christmas time was I had a business guy and we met for breakfast. And he said, well, what would it take to take your recovery pastor, who was part-time, hourly employee, what would it take him to full-time? And we had already planned on in our budget moving him up some in hours, but not all the way. And I said, well, it'd take about $15,000. And so, sure enough, a couple days later, his wife actually dropped off at my house $15,000 so that we could take a stand from a part-time hourly employee to a full-time salaried employee and really have him concentrate full-time on that recovery service. So excited about that. And that was another God moment when I looked back. So lots of neat things, and I just want to have you have a sense of that. If you're a financial person, you like to look at things. If you go to our secretary, who's up here at the computer, give her your email. She could email you the budget for 2015 if you want to look at that, and you're welcome to do that. And I do want to mention the goals. They'll pop up behind me, but if you look on the back of the bulletin every week, we have the goals. And just so you have a few things here, and I have my little laser pointer. They only let me use this a couple times a year. But you know, we are in our capital campaign for our building, and so I'll get a little more into that in a second. Substantial progress on our building this summer. We think we're going to have 4 work teams from various places come and work on our building. Dave Goff, if you know him, is the guy who runs that for us as a volunteer, and so that's been really remarkable. So pray for those teams. Pray for Dave. Pray that the right teams with the right skills come up and work on that, because this is really a crucial summer for us. Begin church planting. This is a new in Nepal. This is a new mission that we're supporting through Disciple Makers. His name is, let's see, is Daoud Lama, and basically it blows my mind in a third world country what American money can do. We can pay his entire salary, $50 a month, to go and plant churches in Nepal, because he lives there, and he's that's kind of the level that an average income there. So I'm envisioning someday in our building like a whole wall of church planters that we pay their salaries in Nepal to get a church up and going. And so and pray for him, because it's illegal to proselytize. So to share your faith and see somebody make a decision for Christ is illegal. It's a Hindu country. And so it's a very dark place spiritually. And then I want to talk about this, develop and implement a growth journey, but I will in just a second. Amy, could you do the other side? We use a little acrostic, GROW, G-R-O-W. We're praying for $1 million, $1.1 million this year to come in for the building. We did go sign a loan. Dave Goff and I just did that, and it's a credit line. We don't have to take it if we don't want to. It's $2,750,000. Mount McKinley Bank believed in us, and it's sometimes hard to get banks to believe in churches, although several guys from Mount McKinley have been hanging around my house the last few days since we signed the loan. A little concerned about that. But anyway, saying how nice it is, but here's the deal, okay? We did that because we don't want to have four, possibly even six teams this summer and get stuck. That would be a nightmare to have a bunch of people who've flown up with skills and standing there and we can't buy, you know, we don't have whatever. And so we went ahead and did that, established this credit line with the bank. But I really don't want to use it. I really don't want to use any of it, to be perfectly honest. And so if $1.1 million, you know, only if $1.1 million came in this year, we wouldn't have to use it. Because Dave says that's all we need to do what we need to do this year. So we're praying for it because we believe in a big God that's no big deal. And so it's a huge deal to us, but we are praying for that. New strategic Bible studies. We have lots of Bible studies. You see them on our website. They're often in our bulletin. A strategic one would be something like at UAF campus, or it be at Raven Landing, which is a retirement, you know, a senior citizen type place. It'd be going to a people group, a group, a subset of culture, and doing a Bible study. There's called Housing First on Cushman, and it's a second rescue mission here in town. I don't know if you know about that. It's a new one. If we did a Bible study in there, it would be a very, you know, be those that are chronic alcoholics that live there. And so we would love to do sometime this year, create two Bible studies in strategic locations and become more of a known entity at UAF. We're talking with our former intern, Alex Luby, from last summer. Many of you remember him. And he really wants to come in the fall and live here and work for us full time. We're not going to do full time. The offer on the table is 20 hours a week. So it looks like he's coming. It looks like that's going to happen, but that would help because he could work with our teenagers and he could do some work up at UAF because he is college age. So that would be another neat God thing. We'd love to see 25 new volunteers at Journey. I tell you what, I would take the core at Journey, stack them up against any church in the United States, and hands down, it's an amazing core. But we all, you know, it does wear on people, you know, the hauling stuff in and out, particularly at 40 below. It's nice and warm today, but, you know, just the grind of that in lots of different jobs that we do, you know, working with kids, working with teens, all the different things that we do, we would love to see 25 people step up and serve regularly at Journey. And then the Word of God is we're going to give you opportunities to maybe listen, you know, we'll have some pushes throughout the year to read the whole New Testament or listen to the whole New Testament. And then, Amy, if you could put up the tree. In your bulletin, there is a tree, and you'll see a list on the back. One of the things that we created this year, and it really is just kind of putting together what we've been doing for a while in many ways, but the idea is that, so you're a follower of Christ, you've identified with Christ, and so now you want to grow. And we have all these things on these leaves, and these are either books to read or small groups to participate in or seminars to go to or just various aspects or practices that we believe will help you to grow in your faith, mature in your faith, move forward in your faith. And so, you know, if you have the tree, it has them, you know, kind of on a leaf form. If you flip it over in the back, it has them. And you can cross them off as you work through some of those. I'll just read you a couple of them. There's taking a spiritual gifts assessment. You know, we serve best when we know where we're gifted and where God has wired us to serve. An individual spiritual plan. that would be I sit down with you, or Gina does these as well, and we sit down and ask questions for an hour and try to figure out where you are spiritually, and then we come back after a day or two of praying about it and thinking about it and give you 8 to 12 individual suggestions on what we think would help you over the coming year grow spiritually. And it might be something like read a particular book. It might be write a letter of apology to a person. It might be, to try prayer journaling. I don't know. I mean, they're individual. And we've had a lot of people go through those, and we've seen a lot of life change and growth come out of it. But those are just a few of them. I think giving reflects the heart, so practicing tithing would be one. So there's various things on this tree. And I just want to encourage you to look at this, think about this. It's the kind of thing, we'll have these out on the table for years, and we're just trying to help people grow. Because, sometimes you're like, well, how do I grow? Well, this is our growth track or growth process or growth plan. These are some things that we believe will help you to move forward in your faith if you'll do these. Now, you may look at it and go, that is quite a list. You know, that's a little scary. What do you expect of me? If you did everything on this list, I would expect it to take you about 4 years. So it's not something that you can just do quickly, because we can only offer the small groups certain times. But you'll see kind of the core small groups pop up regularly so that you can take them. Because the beauty of a small group is you get the truth of God's word. You get it in relationship. You get to know some people, because I think that's where you get to know people at Journey, or really any church, is in small group settings. And so So I encourage you to look at this, begin to work on it, pray about it, think about it. But I think this is a great, helping us be intentional about growing. One of the things that breaks my heart, I've spent my entire life in church. I've been in ministry about 20 years now, is when I see someone who goes to a church or our church, and they go for years, and as far as I can tell, they don't grow. And that's heartbreaking. And so this is trying to encourage you to be intentional about your spiritual growth. And like I said, and then there's that one I mentioned, the individual spiritual plan, is kind of a one piece of that, where you work on your own stuff and we try to guide you. So anyway, it's something I'm excited about. I want to encourage you to look at that, consider it. And love to see many of you get to work on it. You might go, well, why a certain amount that adds up to 4 years? Well, we're a military town, and for a lot of folks, they come to Fairbanks and they're here 3 or 4 years, and then they go. So this is our attempt to think about that as well. Like, so if somebody came for that period of time, what would we love to put into them before they take off and move? Now, I've been here 11 years now. Church is 10 years old. I intend to die here, just not soon. But there's going to be those of us that are here for decades. And obviously, there are groups that aren't on this core curriculum. Like if you look at the groups we're offering right now, we have this Saturday at 8 a.m., we have a men's monthly breakfast, and it's just a chance for men to get together. Well, that's not core curriculum, but I think it's a good thing. There's a Financial Peace University coming up at the end of the month that Brian Schmidt is teaching down here. If you have questions about that, I think it's a great small group, but I don't view it as core curriculum. And I'll be honest, I had up to 100 things on this. It was really hard to try to keep it within 3 or 4 years. So we offer a lot of groups that are great and helpful, but for one reason or another, didn't necessarily think it was like kind of the core curriculum. For instance, my wife and I are going to do a marriage group. It's a video group. Later, if you look in it, I think it's in February sometime, is when that starts. Well, that's not listed on here. One reason is not everybody gets married. And not everybody's married. So parenting groups will pop up, but they won't be on core curriculum. So check that out. Pray about it. Look at it. Think about it. And I just encourage you to get intentional about your spiritual growth, about maturing in Christ and becoming all that God wants you to be. I want to mention one other thing before I forget about it. In your bulletin, if you look at it, there's a little article from the Newsminer not very long ago, I think maybe the 5th of January. And I encourage you to read that. It's someone local. It's a lady whose column that my wife reads when she writes, I think mainly about gardening. And it was a pretty vulnerable piece for somebody who's going through a lot of medical difficulties, and talks about prayer and then how she is praying a little bit and yet still doesn't even know if there is a God. And anyway, I thought it was an interesting article. I thought it would be worth your reading. I've actually decided to pray for her. I'm starting a Daniel fast today. So for 30 days, just vegetables and fruit and water is what I'll be doing, and just spending a little more time in prayer. And if you're on the church email list, you got an email about that, and I encourage you to consider maybe doing some form of fasting over the next 30 days and praying about some things, and I gave you some things to pray about. I listed some folks in our congregation who could use some physical healing, and I mentioned this lady as well, because it would be pretty cool if God would give one of his big dramatic yeses. Now, I don't think that's guaranteed. I don't think prayer is a magic wand, but we serve a God who loves to say yes. And so I think if we approach him by faith, we get to see a lot of yeses in this life. And really, if you think about it, if you're a Christian, in one sense, you could say healing is guaranteed. And by that, what I mean is sometimes he heals instantly. Sometimes he heals gradually. Sometimes, and if you're a Christian, he always heals ultimately. And that's, we get a new resurrection body in the new heaven and the new earth. And so there is, for the Christian, the certainty of healing, although it's often not that instantaneous like we pray for and we often want. But anyway, so I just encourage you to make the next 30 days a time of prayer. And we passed out prayer journals last week. There's still some out on the table, and it's just a blank notebook that you could write some prayers. I give you a few ideas. There's a sheet stuck in the front of that on maybe some ideas on journaling. So anyway, just something for you to consider as something to do. So you're hearing a lot about prayer this year because it is a major theme for us, and I want it to be a big theme that we talk about, think about, and walk out in 2015.